Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I feel like a locomotive sipping, drinking Arizona. Mixtape just around the corner. Did a lot in California. Can't wait to drop this on you. Yeah, they gon' have fun with that. Smash like Songa, man. My songs gon' break through like a running back.
Hello and welcome to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. My name is Mark Hamilton, and not joining me today, my friend, my colleague, my co-host, my frenemy, Mr. Mark Daly. And that can mean only one thing, that this is a continuation of our interview series. Now, today's guest is somebody that I've been hoping to get on the show for a very long time, and a little bit of context is necessary. If you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, you probably know that I have a Canadian passport. I live in Canada. I have a British passport. I grew up in the UK. But I consider the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East very much to be my second home. We visit there every year. My wife grew up there. My son loves it. And I think it's a very, very cool country that is rapidly, rapidly developing. To give you a little bit of background and to share some of the geography, the country is bordered by Oman and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The country is divided into a number of emirates. These emirates originally came together in the 1970s to form a union, to form a country, which ultimately became the United Arab Emirates. The country is dominated by two major cities. In the south part of the country, you have the city of Abu Dhabi, and in the north part of the country, about an hour and a half away by car, you have the city of Dubai. Of course, most people are familiar with Dubai. It's obviously a huge financial and tourist hub for the region. And of course, Abu Dhabi is very much the capital of the country, as well as the oil and gas center of production for the country as a whole. Now, Abu Dhabi in recent years has also been making strides to become a much, much, much more appealing destination for tourists. And back in the late 2000s, they developed a region of the city called Yas Island, introduced some major shopping, some tourist destinations, and of course, they built Yas Marina. And Yas Marina has been hosting Formula One Grand Prix since 2009. And fortunately, I have been able to attend many of them, including my favorite of all. Despite the fact that Lewis lost, I was able to see Nico clinch the Formula One title in 2016. So all of that said, I feel like we have pretty deep roots in this country. Now, a couple of years ago, it came to my attention that there was a very talented young driver from the United Arab Emirates that was making her way through some of the junior formula throughout that region. Her name, Hamda Al-Kobesi. And Hamda is going to join us today and talk a little bit about her story and a little bit about her journey. Of course, we've been watching her, and when I say we, my wife, my son, myself, for a number of years, and it's been really cool to see her journey and her development and her ability to represent her country. Currently, Hamda races for Prima Racing in the Formula Regional European Championship, which sees these young drivers race at some of the greatest venues in the world. In fact, just a few weeks ago, Hamda was racing at Spa. Earlier this season, she's also raced at Monaco and at Monza. So she's seen and experienced some of the best venues on the planet. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to connect with Hamda and listen to her journey and talk to her about some of her experiences competing at very high levels of open wheel racing across the Middle East region and throughout Europe. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. Joining me now, and something I've been incredibly excited to say for a very long time, is Hamda Al-Kobesi. Hamda, how the heck are you?
I'm great, thank you.
First of all, and I probably should have teed this up off the top, congratulations and happy 20th birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
It seems like the timing was perfect because I know you've had an action-packed calendar this year. So it looks like you had the opportunity to celebrate at home with friends and family, and you got to take a little bit of a break from your really, really busy racing schedule.
Yes, I definitely had time to spend time with the family and friends. And, you know, I'm now the big 2-0, so getting older. But it's always great to spend time with family and to be here. I always come back in August, so again, it was nice to see them and nice to spend time with them before going back again.
And I don't think that most of our listeners have probably had the opportunity to visit the UAE in June, July, August. Maybe you're conditioned to the heat, but I really struggle with UAE weather in June, July, August.
Yes, it's super hot. I actually wanted to go for a run the other day, as I do in Europe, and I was like, nope, a bad idea. So it was just really hot, and yeah, I think impossible to run outside. Even at night, it's so humid and really difficult. And as well as there's some sandstorms, and so it's a really hard weather. But you know, I'm kind of used to it. But because I've been in Europe a lot, it was a bit of a shock to me again, but I get used to it again.
I remember a couple of years ago, I was in UAE in the summer for the first time, and it was late at night, like maybe midnight, 1 a.m. And I thought, I'll do a run from downtown Dubai to Safa Park or Tolerance Bridge, which is only a couple of kilometers. I don't think I've sweat that much in my entire life. So I sympathize with you. And I've run marathon and I've never experienced anything like that. Oh my goodness. So before we get started, and I got a ton of great questions, and I think our listeners are really excited about this interview, how would you introduce yourself, and what would you want people to know about you?
So I would say my name is Hamda Al-Kobesi. I'm 20 years old. And I would say that I've been racing for about 6 years now in the motorsport world. I moved up from karting to Formula 4 and now Formula Regional. I think, you know, it's been a really tough journey. I've worked so hard so far, and I think everything I've done is paying off, and all the hard work I put in, the results are coming, and, you know, the more determined I am, the more I see it. So, yeah, in F4, I was the first female to get a podium. And that was like, I think, a really high achievement, in that championship, as it was really the toughest championship in Formula 4 and still is. So, to get a podium there is, again, a dream come true. And also in F4 UAE, you know, to get 8 pole positions and 18 podiums, and as well as 6 wins in the 2 seasons in 2020 and 2021, again, another good achievement and step forward. I think I'm the most successful female in Formula 4, so I'm really, really proud about it, and especially coming from the UAE to hold my flag up high, and I'm really proud about it. And now, you know, jumping into Freca, it was another tough step, but I'm enjoying the experience and I'm learning a lot.
So let's take a step back, because I want to hear all about your racing journey, how you got into karting, your first experiences. But for those that might be listening in the United States, in Canada, and probably less so Europe, because I think a lot of Europeans regularly travel to the GCC countries, to the UAE, but maybe specifically for those of us living in North America, what are some of your favorite things about the United Arab Emirates? And for people that haven't been, what would you want people to know about the UAE culture, food, language, etc.?
First of all, I would say it's the safest country. And, you know, you never have to worry about walking outside, and you can leave your phone on the in a coffee table, come back the next day, and it's going to still be there. So that's for sure the safest country. And that's why I like being here. And again, the culture and the traditions we have here, you know, you go around, you see everyone wearing their traditional clothes, the abaya and the shela. And so everybody just always has these traditions, and we keep following them. So you see all the locals doing keeping the tradition alive. So that's one thing that's really special. And again, with the food, you know, home food is the best. Every time I come back here, I know that I'm gonna get, you know, my machbous or some really great food that I really miss when I'm away. So
do you remember then? So you said you've been competing at a really high level now for 5-6 years, but do you remember the first time that you went to a karting track? When was it? Where was it? And what do you remember about that day?
So I remember the first time being in a karting track was actually in our karting track here in Abu Dhabi. It was my first time, you know, seeing the sport. And my sister at the time just started in karting. She's my older sister. She's 2 years older than me. And I was watching her, you know, going around in karting. She's the one who really had the passion for it in the beginning. And she's the one who really pushed my dad to get into the sport. So she was really like passionate and determined about it, and she was really forcing my dad, like, I really want to race. So yeah, so I saw her racing in her first championship, and I watched her for a year. I loved the way she was determined and passionate about the sport. I loved how she was disciplined after that. You know, every time someone said you have to be here at 7 a.m. she was there at that time sharp. So it just really teaches you discipline, and how aggressive she was on track, how she was fearless against all these other drivers, and mostly male drivers. So I really liked her passion and power, and I wanted to be the same. So again, like, you know, like in these stories, a little sister following her older sister's footsteps, it was quite the same. And I did that, and I followed her through. My first time in a kart, I was a bit nervous, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but as soon as I put my foot on the pedal and I pressed that pedal, I was like, whoa. so from there, I felt like speed was something I really enjoyed, and it was something I wasn't scared of, but I wanted more of. So that's what helped me move forward and get results, because in my first year in karting in the local championship, I was the only female on the grid, and I managed to win a race in the last race of the championship, considering I was a rookie. So again, wow. Another achievement that really, really pushed me forward and helped me continue in the sport.
So I have to ask you this question. So we ask every driver this question, regardless of whether they're in NASCAR or the W Series, but how did your parents respond to your interest in karting? Now, your dad, and maybe you want to open up about this a little bit, is a big racer himself, but were either of your parents apprehensive about one or both of their daughters getting involved with karting?
Yeah, my dad raced in GT for a while, so we always were around racetracks and different drivers, so we were already into that atmosphere or environment, I would say. And so it wasn't really new to my dad, so he understood the feeling. He knew how it was to race cars, and so he knows how fun it is. He knows if we want to do it, he would obviously would love to see the sport through us as well. So that's why he was really open about it, and he put us in it. So We are really thankful, especially, you know, coming from the UAE as girls, it was really difficult for him to put us in a male-dominated sport, but he was able to help us through it and support us. And so that we are thankful and grateful for.
I've seen many photos on social media from both your account and from your sister's account of your mom at the track for training and for practice and for racing. And it seems like she's a huge mechanism of support for both of you. Did she embrace the idea of the two of you joining? Or was this something that the two of you and your dad maybe had to convince her of over time that this was a good idea?
My mom was actually pushing it as well. She really,
wow.
Yeah, she knew how we loved the sport. And my mom also joined us in karting a few times. So that's a really funny story. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she loves cars as well. So like it runs through the whole family, I would say. But yeah, we always had our mom's support. She would, you know, risk many, many things, many family gatherings, many times at home to be with us, to travel with us, to take us to our races. And, you know, without her, it wouldn't be possible.
At what point did you begin to realize that racing could become something serious, something more than just competing at the local track near your home?
Well, it took a while. I would say that as soon as I finished my first F4 championship abroad is when I thought, okay, I think it could be serious and I think I could really do well. So that's when I knew it's something I really can't live without, and I would do anything to continue.
What are some of the hardest things in racing to learn? So we've talked to other drivers that talk about it's really tough to get the braking point correctly. It's really difficult to rotate the car through a corner. What are some of the toughest things that you've had to learn or perfect during your journey of racing?
So when I jumped from karting to F4, I would say the hardest thing was the car itself. It was heavy. And, you know, the braking points obviously were something that I had to work on the most, I would say, in Formula 4, as the brakes were a bit tougher, so you needed to put a good amount of pressure to reach the peak, and that's something I lacked coming from karting, but slowly was able to build on and was able to reach a certain goal, so it was good. And also moving up to regional, the car is even heavier, and so I realized how much I need to work on my physical strength, and that's one thing that I think is not really looked at, but you know, out of the racetrack, you know, training programs are important, and gym sessions are really important. So I do a lot of that, especially because we cannot be in the car 24/7. You know, you cannot train as much in the regional car as I did in Formula 4. So again, I have to really work on my physical strength outside of the car. And
and that's the perfect segue to the next question. And obviously you probably spend a lot of time doing track walks, and even when you're training, you probably spend a little bit of time in carts and with the simulators. But what does your workout regimen look like? Is it a lot of cardio? Is it a lot of weights? What does your training look like when you're not at the track in the car?
Yeah, so right now I'm trying to build on because I'm trying to build some strength on my arms, I obviously use weights. It's almost like a CrossFit type of training, not too heavy weights, but just enough to help increase, you know, the power and strength. And obviously cardio is important, as we stay 30 minutes in the car, and, you know, you need to keep that high percentage of focus as well, even when being really tired. So I think cardio is also important, but I don't do too much of that, as I'm trying to keep a certain weight, and I can't lose it, especially because I'm really, really light, and I already have full ballast on my car, including full fuel. And so it's really difficult, as it's even more difficult because the car is then even heavier. So it's a hard situation, but I'm willing to work on it.
In 2019, which amazingly was already 3 years ago now, you made that initial transition to Formula 4, which you just mentioned a couple minutes ago, and you alluded to this a little bit, but just how much more advanced was that car than what you had driven before that point?
Well, it was really, really advanced. The speed, especially the speed difference, was something that shocked me a bit, that I had to get used to. So as soon as I made that jump, you know, it was difficult to the speed was just so much different in the straights. I felt a bit nervous. And for the first time, I was like, oh, speed is kind of scary. But when I got used to it, I was like, oh, never mind. It feels slow again. But it was just that.
That's awesome.
That initial transition is when it feels like, oh, this is way faster. So I think that's one big factor. Yeah.
When you're at the track for a race weekend, and of course in your championship on a race weekend, you'll typically have two races. How do you prepare, not even just for that race, but leading up to a race weekend? You know, you're heading to Spa, you're heading to Monza, you're heading to Monaco. What do the days and the weeks look like ahead of that weekend? How do you get yourself physically and mentally prepared to race at a new track?
Yeah, so I go to program in Athletica, which is a place in Italy, and we do physical and mental training. It starts at 9 a.m. And then we have a lunch break from 12:30 to 3, and then again starts at 3 until like 6 p.m. So, and this is all physical training, including a bit of mental. And I do that for 3-4 days in a row. And then after that, it's I still do some training, but obviously it's going to be a bit less and not that intense. And then, after that, we move into the sim sessions to prepare for our races. And, we go through the tracks that we're going to race in, and we do these sim sessions for that track, which goes on the whole day. Then we have our pre-race meetings, pre-event meetings, which we go through the track, the push-to-pass zones and the corners. And after that, then we go to the track and then we do our track walk. So it's a long, long, long process, but...
That's amazing. Talk a little bit about the simulator itself, because for whatever reason, that's something that myself, to be honest, and our audience is really, really fascinated with. You were at Spa a couple of weeks ago. Presumably, that was your first time there. How much time would you have spent in the sim working and learning that track before you stepped foot there for the first time?
Yeah, so we spent like 1.5 days in the sim, and I would say that, not being at the track, you really have to watch onboards and really learn the track well before being there. And the sim helps a lot. It's a really, really big help, because as soon as I went from the sim to the actual thing, it felt real. It felt the same. So the way I was driving in the sim, I drove in real life. And, it skips the process of it's almost like helping you learn it faster, and it saves some time. Instead of going to the track without a sim, without knowing where the track goes, I just spend longer trying to figure that out instead of working on the details, which is maybe brake this much later or go on the gas this much earlier.
A lot of the young drivers that we've been speaking to recently that have been competing in Formula 4 and Formula 3 have been talking about, ever since the pandemic, so many drivers have actually started putting sims in their home because it's a really affordable way to learn tracks when you're not able to go to the physical track, the circuit itself, to experience that. Have you, your sister, your dad put a sim in at your home yet?
Yes, we do have a sim actually. And we use it to learn tracks. Like the other time before Monaco, I used it to learn where Monaco goes, as we never have any test days there, and even even in the race weekend, it's like a 20-minute session. So
wow,
yeah, it was nothing. And being that close to the walls, you really need confidence and need to learn the track. So yeah, That's what I did.
Hamda, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I have a bunch of other questions to ask you. But for everyone listening at home, thanks for joining us. We're going to be back in 30 seconds.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. My name is Mark Hamilton, and joining me once again, the one, the only, the myth, the legend from the United Arab Emirates, Hamda Al-Kobesi. Hamda, thank you so much once again for joining us. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about Hamda's journey through the lower ranks of karting, through Formula 4. We've talked a little bit about her home sim setup and how she gets ready for a race weekend. Now, one of the things that we haven't mentioned is the team that you've been driving for now, or the organization that you've been a part of for quite a while. Talk a little bit about how your relationship with Prima started, and talk a little bit about them as a world-class organization.
Mm-hmm. So it started with my sister. She's been the first female in that team, actually, and she raced in Formula 4. And, you know, soon after, they became a really like family, and we always wanted to continue with them. So under the banner of Abu Dhabi Racing, we you know, joined forces, I would say, and you know, we stuck together ever since. And I raced with them in Formula 4 UAE as well as Europe, and you know, I've made progressive steps with them, and they treat me as any of the other drivers they've ever had. So that's one thing I really enjoy about them. And, you know, the environment there, they don't treat me any different from the other drivers. They think I do have the potential to be there, and they know that I can do well and I can do better. And that's the environment I want to be in. And, you know, your environment in racing is really important. So the people around you and really affect you and your driving, and can make a big change from, I would say, a good race weekend to a bad race weekend. So, you know, that's one factor that's really important to me, I would say. And, you know, Prema has never failed to have perfect race weekends with me in terms of environment, and they were always supportive. So, yeah. A great team, great people, and yeah.
And I can tell from the social media that I've seen from the team and from yourself, it seems like it's one really strong united front, and that you get along really well with the other drivers and everyone else that supports that organization. So I think it seems like a fantastic fit for both you and for your sister. Tell me about the best moment, and I think you may have alluded to it right off the top, but talk a little bit about the best moment that you've ever experienced in a racing car, and what do you remember about that day?
Yeah, so I would say Misano, mid-July. I don't remember when exactly. It should be that I remember it exactly, but race one. You know, the toughest 30 minutes of my life, but it ended, you know, with a podium and with a big smile on my face. So yeah, I would say it definitely was a really tough race. I qualified already from qualifying. I was the highest female to qualify.
Wow.
Yeah, in that position, so P5, And, you know, from there, I was told, look, you know, you have the potential to be top five. You need to finish the race top five. There's no excuses. There's no... So I had a bit of pressure, I would say, but
definitely.
Yeah, but I went in, you know, with a clear mindset. I went in knowing I belong here. I belong to be in this position, and there's no way I can go backwards, only forwards.
How did you and your dad, your mom, your sister, how did you celebrate the result?
Oh, it was crazy. I would say as soon as I jumped out of the car at the end of the, I couldn't believe it. First of all, I thought I was dreaming. And then I jumped out of the car and my dad was there already to you know, hug me. And he was so proud of me. And obviously, like, coming from the UAE, it's a really, really big achievement. Being Arab and able to do this achievement, again, helped me in the sport, helped me not just prove that females are capable of doing well, but also... that there should be more females and there should be support for them because they can do it and they are able to be in the top in the toughest championships.
What is your favorite racing track? So obviously you have some special memories of that specific track because of the result, but I look at the Formula Regional European Championship this year. You've been to Paul Ricard, you've been to Monaco, you've been to Hungary, you've been to Spa, you've been to some world-class venues that most of us only see on TV when our Formula One heroes race there. What are some of your favorite racing tracks and what makes those so special to you?
Definitely Monaco was one of my favorites. You know, it's a historical track and to race there, it was amazing. And obviously being the first female Arab also to race there is another achievement and a boundary that I was able to surpass. And I think also Spa was one of my favorites. I think I did my best result there, and I really enjoyed the track considering it was my first time there. I didn't really expect to do that well, but I went in again with clear mind, and I said, you know, I just need to learn, I just need to try my best. And I loved Oruj, was the really amazing corner. So yeah.
What is the most challenging, and maybe it is that one, but what is the most challenging circuit that you've raced at so far?
So the most challenging circuit, I would say, is Hungaroring in Budapest, because it, also of the temperature. It was really hard to keep the tires in good shape during the race. And, you know, I struggled a lot with oversteer, and because of how heavy the car is, it was really difficult to control the car. And yeah, I would say definitely one of the toughest circuits in the calendar.
You've definitely been a trailblazer in your career, as you've described, coming from the United Arab Emirates, trailblazing as a female driver, as an Emirati driver. Who have been some of your biggest inspirations, though, during your personal journey? Who have been some of the people that you've looked up to as you've trailblazed through all these different racing series?
Yeah, so, I mean... if you're talking about in my family, I would definitely say my father and my sister. I always looked up to them in motorsports, and I always wanted to be like them. So, and they're the reasons I even got into the sport in the first place. So definitely they would be someone I really look up to in the sport. I would say outside of my family, I know that you might think it's not like a unique hero, but Lewis Hamilton, I have to say, you know, he's a legend. And yeah, so I really, really look up to him. And ever since I got into the sport, when we would watch F1, he was always the one I cheer for. And still, until now, I cheer for him. I don't know. I know that Mercedes are getting through a tough time this year, but I still look up to Lewis as the greatest driver who ever existed. And
Hamda, you will get no argument from me, and our listeners know that I am very much a bit of a homer when it comes to Lewis Hamilton, and my listeners hear this all the time, but my last name is Hamilton, my surname is Hamilton,
yes,
my son's
yes.
name is Lewis Parsa Hamilton, so he literally,
oh, that's great.
He literally bears the name of the greatest driver of all time.
That's great.
So your sister, as you mentioned, she races as well, she got into the sport a year before you, she's a couple of years older. How has having a fellow race driver as a sibling influenced your development? Do you find each other pushing each other? Do you share data? Do you talk about personal experiences? How has it been beneficial to have a sibling that's competing at a high level like you are?
So obviously out of the track, you know, we are siblings. We do care for each other and all that. But, you know, especially if we're in the same category, as soon as we put our helmets down, there's no sister anymore, I would say. But, you know, we all just go in and race each other like separate drivers. We end up, obviously, in many arguments, I would say, after the races. But, you know, it's the sport. It's what keeps the fun, I would say. And, you know, every time we're on the dinner table, my sister just mentions a race from far, far back, you know, 2017. And she says, oh, you remember when you pushed me off, or you remember when you did that. So it always brings up these arguments, but then it's fun. So it's nice to share this. Yeah. But we do definitely share data. We do still help each other and push each other to improve. So
I think sometimes people like myself sit at home and we watch these young drivers in Formula 4 and Formula 3 and Formula 2, and we assume that their entire life is just racing, sim, practice, training. But a lot of young drivers are going to school and they have different responsibilities. How do you manage to juggle studying, home life, your social life, and traveling the world to compete at ultra high levels of open wheel racing?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult to balance, but then it always comes to priorities in the end. And, you know, school is really important, as is racing, but, you know, I have to do school, and it's something that's always going to be there, and I have to do it. So I go to NYU Abu Dhabi, and it's definitely a really tough university, but so far I've been able to cope with them, and I was taking asynchronous classes. So whenever I'm in Europe, I would do it online, and whenever I was here, I would go to class. So that's something they really helped me with, and I would thank them for it. You know, especially being a top university, and they really want you to be involved in the campus life. So for me to be a full-time racing and an athlete, it was difficult for them, but they managed to help me through it. And again, it's all about being proactive. It's all about saying, okay, so today I'll have to do this and that, and, you know, pushing yourself to finish it. And
how much does it mean to you to represent the United Arab Emirates, the UAE? How important is it for you to be able to wear that flag on your racing suit and to see it on your car every single time you go out to race?
I'm really proud to be from the UAE, and especially because it has a really good reputation, and everybody who comes to the UAE is always impressed with Dubai, Abu Dhabi. You know, it's nice to be from a country like this. So again, I carry a big amount of pride. So to be able to even lift the flag up, you know, it's something really special to me. And to race around Europe and show I'm coming from an Arab country and I'm here and I belong here and I am gonna do well is something that's really special to me, and I really want to keep doing it.
I know you and your sister have made some front page news in the UAE and across the GCC countries about the success that you've had in open wheel racing. How do you find that other people in the UAE, expats and nationals, how have they received the success that you and your sister have had? Have people been overwhelmingly supportive, and have they embraced the two of you?
Yeah, definitely. We've reached a lot of support from many people. And I would say that also many local girls started to get into the sport, which is great. You know, we love seeing it. And I've got many friends asking me how to get into the sport, and you know, they wanted to join the sport, and that's a big step forward. I feel like my sister and I are creating many opportunities for others, as well as, you know, they could use us as an example, like, oh, look at her, she's from the same country and she's doing this, so can I do it? And then so it creates a bit of an opportunity for them, and it helps them to get into the sport as well.
What type of advice, if for anyone that's listening at home, might be young parents who maybe have kids that are interested in getting into the sport, or maybe even for young girls that are interested in themselves, what type of advice would you have for parents whose kids are interested in getting into karting? And what type of advice would you have, especially for young girls that are curious about taking up karting?
Honestly, I would say go for it. Try and see if you'll enjoy the sport. For sure, you're going to enjoy it. It's always fun to go karting, even if it's just rental karts with friends. And if you feel like you have a passion for it, go for it. Get into championships, push for it, and, you know, you'll always get that support. I think family support is very important, and so if you have that, keep going and you know, try your best.
The next question here was, do you watch F1, mm-hmm. which you've already answered, and which team and drivers do you root for? And you answered that question, and your answer was correct, so you get an A+ for that exam. But do you have a prediction for this championship? I think it's pretty much locked up, unfortunately, knock on wood, unless something terrible happens. But any predictions for what we might see the rest of the year? Does Mercedes pass Ferrari, and do you think Max locks up his second world championship?
I think Max will probably lock up his second world championship. It feels like that's what's gonna happen, and I think with Mercedes they've made a really good improvement throughout the season, and you know, with Ferrari's strategy not going so well, probably Mercedes could surpass them, but we'll see.
By the way, your Italian accent is perfect. I assume that's because of the time you spend there and around an Italian racing team.
yes probably. Probably.
So we've talked a lot about, and we'll let you go shortly. We just got a couple of questions left, but you talked a little bit about your racing journey. You talked a little bit about the fact that you're obviously going to school, but when you aren't racing, what type of activities keep you busy, and what type of passions do you have aside from school and aside from racing?
Yeah, I really enjoy jet skiing, on the water. Yeah. So like before even getting into motorsports, we always enjoyed anything with an engine, I would say. So motorbikes, quads in the desert, which is really famous here, I would say. And jet skiing. Yeah. We always would go on boat trips. It was every weekend almost. So it was something that we do as like a tradition. So, when I'm back here, it's nice to go on the jet ski again and get that feeling back. I also really enjoy swimming and running as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to hit you with some rapid fire questions to wrap this up before we let you go. So when you're getting ready for that big race weekend, you're getting ready to train, or you're going running, who is your favorite music artist to get you all pumped up and ready to go?
It's difficult, but if I had to like answer from the top of my head, it would be The Weeknd, probably.
The Weeknd, yeah. From Toronto, a Canadian boy.
Yes. So yeah, I really enjoy his song. So yeah.
The other acceptable answer would have been Drake, another Canadian boy, but
Drake too. That's a
perfect
good one,
perfect.
Yeah.
I'll accept both. So A+. What was the last movie you saw?
The last movie was Mulan. A Disney movie.
Oh, was it the live action Mulan?
No, actually the cartoon. I do the old scoop.
Awesome. Awesome. Acceptable. Last TV show that you binged.
Oh, I don't really watch TV shows, but I got into Stranger Things recently. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I got about halfway through season one many years ago and I had to tap out. It was a little too scary for me, but kudos to you for making your way through it. Okay, the next question here, and this is the eternal debate with my wife and I, and for anyone that's been to the UAE or thinking about going, the UAE has some of the best malls in the world. Your favorite mall, the Mall of the Emirates, Dubai Mall, or Yas Mall?
Oof, I would say the Mall of the Emirates.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, because of Ski Dubai.
Favorite social media platform?
Instagram.
favorite thing to do with your friends? And you've probably alluded to some of them, but when you're just with your friends, what's your favorite thing to do when you hang out?
I like to go around with sports cars. So I ask my dad, I borrow one of the sports cars and I go around it.
Okay. Your favorite restaurant. We've got two left here. Your favorite restaurant. Again, for anyone that's maybe traveling, thinking about a great holiday destination, or maybe they want to see the season finale at Yas Marina, best restaurant in the United Arab Emirates.
Cipriani.
Ah, good Italiano. Choice. Final question. And we ask everybody this question. Anyone that's on the show that's a driver, NASCAR, IndyCar, whatever it is, your favorite, and this is serious journalism here, your favorite Mario Kart character.
Oh, no. This is hard. Mario. It has to be Mario.
Perfect. Perfect. Hamda, I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. This was fantastic. I hope you had a lot of fun. But I want to make sure you give everyone listening at the home the opportunity to follow you on social media. One, where can people follow you? And two, how can people tune in to watch some of your races?
So people could follow me on Instagram. I think it's the most platform I use. So I would say there would be a great way to follow and support. And, you know, to follow my races as well, they stream on YouTube, you know, Formula Regional European Championship by Alpine. You'll find all the races there and the upcoming races
Perfect.
As well.
That's fantastic. Once again, thank you so much. Yeah. I wish you nothing but the best through the rest of the championship, which obviously is going to be resuming in a couple of weeks here. Hopefully, maybe next year we can have you back on, catch up, learn how the journey is continuing. But until then, thank you so much. And to everybody listening at home, really appreciate you joining. This has been a very special interview with Hamda Al-Kobesi, once again from the United Arab Emirates. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you for having me.
And as always, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at Scuderia F1 Pod. And once again, if you'd like to give us a rating on Spotify or a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, you know that means the world to both of us. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. See you again next time. Bye-bye.